He had forgotten the miracle of spring in England, Rodney Hawkehurst thought. After months at sea, it was breathtaking. It made him feel almost absurdly sentimental, and at the same time, excited, as he had been years ago when he first set out on a life of adventure. Now, at 29, he thought himself old and blasé, only to find that the spring could arouse his emotions as easily as a woman might have done. He drew his plumed hat from his head and felt the breeze upon his forehead. He had ridden hard and fast and had long since left behind his servants and the pack horses carrying his luggage. He felt the need to be alone. He wanted to think and to plan in his own mind what he was to say when he arrived at Camfield Place. He had heard many conflicting reports of Sir Harry Gillingham at Whitehall, but the majority had been reassuring. Sir Harry was rich and generous, and there was no reason to doubt that, were a proposition put to him in a proper manner, he would agree to it. It meant so much to Rodney, more than he dared allow himself to think, and if Sir Harry refused, where else could he turn for help? As he thought of failure, his lips set themselves in the hard line of obstinacy, and his chin squared itself. Failure was something he had not previously encountered in his life, and he did not intend to anticipate it now. He must succeed, of course he must succeed, as he had done in so many other ways. Deep in his thoughts, he had almost reached a pair of high, imposing iron gates before he realized where he was. He had arrived. Here was his destination, and here was the beginning of his quest. A quest for gold. The gates were open, and the horse passed through them. The drive ahead was bordered by great trees and a profusion of flowering shrubs. There were lilac bushes, heavy with purple and mauve blossom, whose fragrance seemed to scent the air and made the traveller forget once again his anxiety as he glanced around him. Laburnum trees were fountains of gold. Chestnut blooms starred the trees like Christmas candles, pink and white. An early cuckoo called from the dark boughs of the cedars. There was a glimpse of lawns ahead, soft and lush as green velvet. It was spring, and Rodney felt light-hearted and assured at the beauty of it. Then, as his horse carried him forward slowly, something flew swiftly through the air, striking his hat and casting it violently from his head. He turned, startled, yet with that alertness to danger which comes to men who have lived close to it for many years. He looked not to where his hat had fallen in the dust, pierced by a fine arrow, but in the direction whence it had come. The lilac bushes were swaying as if someone moved behind their screening leaves. With a swiftness that bespoke an athletic body, well trained and utterly subject to the man, Rodney Hawkehurst leapt from his horse and in three strides reached the bushes. Plunging into them, he seized hold of someone who was hiding there. He had moved so quickly that he himself had not expected that the fierce hardness of his hands would encounter anything so soft as a white shoulder. But before he had time to consider, he had gripped it fiercely and dragged its owner out onto the grass which bordered the drive. He saw then that it was a woman he held captive, or rather, a girl. She was twisting and turning in his grasp, and for a moment it took all his strength to hold her. Then, as his fingers tightened against her struggles, she was suddenly still. "Let me go!" She raised her face to his, throwing back, as she did so, a cloud of golden red hair, which hung loosely around her small oval face. Her eyes were strangely green, set beneath arched eyebrows, which were drawn together now in an angry scowl. "Did you loose that arrow at me?" Rodney asked. Her lips pouted for a moment, and then suddenly she smiled. "'Twas but a jest." Her smile was irresistible, and Rodney found himself smiling back. She was a lovely, roguish child, and he imagined she must be the daughter of some employee on the place. He could see that she wore a white apron, and her loosened hair told him that she had no social position. But she was pretty. Her breasts were round beneath the tightness of her gown, and at sea, one had only dreams of fair women with which to relieve the loneliness of the long nights, when one's arms ached to hold something warm and soft.